Entertaining talk radio, broadcast on the internet. This is HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be.
This is Justin from Australia. I love three things: knives, bitches, and the DJ New Style Show.
I'm thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? I'm thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? I'm thinking about my doorbell. When you gonna ring it? When you gonna ring it? Yeah, I've been thinking about my doorbell.
That's fucking wicked, mate. Let's roll.
Oh, well, we're winning the chip from your kids. It's not the man of my life.
Such a little fucking bitch! I love it! DJ New Style Show, you dick knob. Dude, man, I got fucking nothing to say. Such a little fucking bitch!
Style Show.
It's a trip. It's got a funky beat, and I can bug out to it.
The newest in
New Style Show.
Right up to your face and diss you.
Coming to you live from New Jersey, safely isolated from Patterson, Irvington, Camden, and Newark. We proudly bring to you the DJ New Style Show.
This talk is not good.
And the homos didn't touch it.
You guys having a killer time?
Oh, yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Hey, Donna! Did you start the coffee yet?
Oh. Yes. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to your Tuesday Night Miracle. That's right. It's the DJ New Style Show, exclusive Tuesday night programming on Hear Us Talk. That's HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. But now, before all the talking, let's do some rocking with some flaming Germans. Who are they? Rammstein! Thank you for listening, everybody. Greatly appreciated. As I said before, and as I'll continue to say every Tuesday night, this is the DJ New Style Show. I'm DJ New Style. My name is Ken. Let's be pals. With me, as always, is a bald fuckface who is... Frank, how old are you now?
Hi, I'm Frank. I'm 29. Hi, I'm 29. I'm 29.
29?
Oh, my God! I said I was 29. I'm fucking 30.
Wow. 349 days until you turn 40, according to the counter on DJNewStyleShow.com, where you can download our podcast. Every other thing we put up there, it's all there. But now you're lying about your age. Just fucking days away from a very shocking 39.
Hey, I'm 39. I'm Frank. I'm 39.
Okay, end it now. Jesus. God. I mean, you're only the second banana on this show. You do understand that, right?
Hello!
Whoa! Right?
Yep.
Are you there?
I'm here.
How are you? You doing okay?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
How's life treating you?
Mediocre.
I'd say better than Ed McMahon. How about that?
I called it.
Now this is something you told me before the show. You said you called this, but for those who don't know, for those who apparently don't have their thumb on the pulse of aging celebrity pop culture, Ed McMahon has passed on. No more practical jokes. Was he part of the clearinghouse? Guess what? Not anymore.
He was a publisher's clearinghouse. He was TV's Loopers and Practical Jokes.
The last gig he had was retirement home room clearinghouse. Because they cleared that room out in a big hurry after Donald Trump fucking bought that. He was 86 years old, Frank. Do you know anything about his demise, or was it just old age?
I think he had bone cancer, pneumonia. Yeah. I mean, he looked awful for the last 3 or 4 years. He looked like a fucking walking corpse.
That's 3 or 4 years. You ever seen the guy?
Pardon?
Was there ever a year that went on where somebody has uttered the words, you know, that Ed McMahon's a handsome fella? You know who's handsome? Ed McMahon. No one's ever said that. He's always looked horrible. So that's why nobody really knew that he was dead.
Back in the 60s, 70s, he was a burly, big, robust, jolly Irishman. As he got older, he got a little decrepit and drawn.
Yeah.
But listen, you know, I got to give it to the guy. He was one of, if not the innovator of the second banana. He is the original second banana. Thank you.
Yeah, he is. And now you are a second banana on an internet radio show heard by at least a dozen people.
That's it.
And you know what? In our case, Frank, you know, Ed McMahon's case, Johnny went first. Well, if I'm the Johnny of this dog shit show, I'm dying after you. I guarantee it. I guarantee I will be dead after you. I'll be invited to and promptly decline attending your funeral.
I see.
I'll be there in spirit, Frank. You don't want to cam up. I don't want to attend. It's okay. I understand. Don't want to cramp your style. But he was something of a hero to you. I just sense it. You had an affinity for him.
I did, and that's where I got the thing where that I do that sound thing that I do.
Well, what was it? I don't.
Hello.
Whoa! Very loud. You stole that from him.
I did. I pulled it right off him.
The government took all of his money. Somebody took his money. I know he died poor. Donald Trump had to buy his house or something and kind of lease it back to him. Last thing that he had, his hey-o, was kind of taken from him by
the
you.
The problem with Ed McMahon is he was one of those celebrities who lived, you know, he would take the limo to work to the Tonight Show. He lived the high life, you know, and he just couldn't afford to live that way. He couldn't manage his money. He also had a problem where he had a mold in his house, and he had suffered from illnesses and that too. Listen, what can I say? The guy is an icon. He is a part of Americana, and he'll be sorely missed by us all.
Yeah, sorely. Sorely missed.
We love you, Edward Leo Peter McMahon.
That's the creepiest thing you do is you find everybody's full name on Wikipedia, and now
you... It's not that difficult.
Yeah,
it's
but you make the effort to do this. Like when
he was a staple.
When Snoop Dogg gets mentioned, you have to call him Calvin Brodus. You can't call anybody a fake name or an assumed
name.
It is his name, but everybody knows him as Snoop Dogg. You have to feel like you're an insider, know a little bit more. So I'm gonna call him Calvin. I couldn't believe Calvin was on a reality show. That's what you do, Frank, and it's a little bit creepy.
Oh, well.
But I found out about this on the Heroes Talk forum. You go to RadioBronzeFans.com. And in the thread, a guy named Vealchop, you may have heard of him.
Yes.
Yes. Vealchop
wrote... Did he still
show? The Awful Hour? Go to theawfulhour.com. Yeah. They'll be back. I know. Oh. They'll be back.
Oh, I see.
They'll be doing something.
They'll pull it together, guys. He wrote on the forum, he says, it's funny when you're a kid and you imagine everyone lives to that magic number of 100. Or at least that's what your parents tell you anyway. But more and more you begin to realize that that's just a fantasy and most of us will be lucky to see 86, if not even 75. And I think he's right. But the magic number idea of 100, isn't that just because, like, it's true. When you're a kid, you think, oh, 100 years and then that's it. You got 100 years. But isn't that because, like, that's the biggest number you can comprehend as a kid? Like, 1,000 doesn't... It's like, I got $100! And it's like a fucking... a king's ransom. 100 is the best fucking... the biggest number you can come up with.
I suppose so. The only problem with that is... the reason they like that number is because it's a round number. The number I always remembered is... listen, I was born in 1970... and the big deal for me when I was a child was, hey, how old are you going to be in the year 2000? How old are you going to be in the year 2000?
And how old were you in the year 2000?
30 in the year 2000. So I can remember in third grade, you know, we could say to ourselves, how old are we going to be in the year 2000? And I was going to be 30. And that has since passed to the point where I'm going to be 40.
Yeah.
So that was more of a thing than really the 100. Listen.
Yeah, I mean, everybody that I've spoken to that – you know, was around your age, like my grandmother, my grandfather, my dad, my mom, everybody that's about your age, they would always talk about the year 2000 as being this year of hope, this like, you know, well, when I was a kid, we'd always think, and they always say the flying car, or we thought the news would come in from a printer built into the wall. And like, they had all these visions for it. And it just, you know, it just seemed like childlike. You think a number is going to fucking just magically make things occur. Just like you think 100, it's the biggest thing ever. Just really childlike thinking. And it's kind of innocent until you realize that life beats you down and people start dying well before 100. And, you know, Veal Chop's right. 75, you know, just consider yourself lucky. The first thing you hear, if there's someone dies at 86, is like, oh, well, you know, he was 86. You know, you never hear, oh, man, he was only 86. Son of a bitch. Ed McMahon never got to live. No one will ever say that.
You know, whenever I think of Ed McMahon, I always thought of Egg McMuffins.
Just because of the name, it almost sounded like it a little bit. You kind of hope that he would become the spokesperson for it.
Yeah.
Now,
but, well, it's going to be odd to see the telethon with Jerry Lewis because he was a staple in it. And now for him not to be part of it, I wonder if Jerry will do a little tribute to him.
I mean, have you ever actually watched one of those?
I watch it every single year it's on from beginning to end.
You watch the entire thing and you've watched it every year?
I record it. I've had every single recording since 1976.
That's a little obsessive, don't you think? I don't think I've seen 1 minute of that fucking telethon. It's something that I know exists, but I just can't bring myself to watch it.
Let me backtrack. I'm just kidding.
Of course you are. You can't even fucking bring yourself to watch an episode of True Blood, which was on Sunday, which was fucking fantastic.
I think you got a thing for female vampires. I want to go out and
you know
say
what?
That.
Go out on the limb. I'll climb out right out there with you and shout it. Female vampires. The idea of that and how they portray them on the show True Blood is fantastic. It's fantastic. It's one of the greatest shows ever. Imagine a creature so fucking powerful that they could throw anybody through a fucking wall. They can run as fast as you can blink. They're powerful, they're strong, but they have their weaknesses. They're not perfect. It's not like this bullshit fucking Twilight movie where, you know, the reasons vampires stay hidden is not because they'll burn up in the sun, but because they'll be too shiny. Oh, God, keep the sun away from me. I turn into a disco ball and look fantastic. It's such a curse. It's the worst
thing ever. I
think the
whole vampire thing is old. Think of something creative.
Well, it generally is old, Frank. The vampires are not a new idea.
No, I think you know what I'm talking about. It's not original. You know, they keep just regurgitating vampires. Enough is enough. Think of something different.
You know what? Someone would say the same thing about your fucking CD collection. I mean, how many fucking times can you listen to Slippery When Wet, okay? You want your Bon Jovi. People want their fucking vampires, okay?
People have a fascination with vampires, don't they?
They do. I guess they do. I mean, it's a great show. But obviously, it can be done poorly. I don't understand, first of all, the fascination with this Twilight shit. Now it's big with, like, young teenage girls or whatever. And I don't know if your daughter's at that age where she's kind of into that shit. Has she read the books or anything like that?
No. She's still watching Nickelodeon and
stuff.
Is
she watching
like that
Trollope Hannah Montana?
Even though it's gonna, she's hanging up her wig next year.
That's not all she's hanging up. Let me tell you.
Oh boy, and she's into the Zoe 101 and all the crap.
Now Zoe 101 is who? Now I don't know any of these kids' shows.
That's the sister of the pop sensation,
Lady Gaga. Whitney. Lady Gaga's sister. Way to go! Way to get your piece of the pie. What?
It's Britney Spears' sister who got pregnant at the age of 17 or 16, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Does she even have a show anymore? Or is she always holding a basketball? How are they concealing the baby?
She's always behind like a desk or a wall or something. I didn't notice that. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know if they're new shows or not. I just you know. She's also a big fan of course, your favorite, Drake and Josh. But anyway, let's continue.
Let me tell you, that fucking fat kid.
He's not fat anymore.
You know, I don't give a shit. He'll always be the fat kid. That kid can – I can't stand him. He's always so fucking – he thinks he's so wise.
He's a funny – dude. Listen to guy.
He's not a funny guy.
Listen to me. This guy was huge fat.
Fuck him,
now,
Frank.
Now he
– Fuck him in his formerly fat ass.
Listen to me. Don't you dare talk about Mr. Peck in that fashion.
What? Mr. Who?
His name is Mr. Peck.
I didn't know that. I didn't know.
Anyway, what I'm saying is he thinned out to the point where you never know he was fat. He's so thin now.
Yeah, well, let me know when he gets thin enough to have me never know he exists. Because if I hear about him again from you, I'm going to fucking break this bottle and come through the internet and stab you.
Can I do a quick impression real quick?
Okay. We're always down for a Frank impression. So here we go.
Are you familiar? And this is something that I've done for some people in the past, but I like to do it for everybody who's listening today. Are you familiar with the messaging system AIM, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Okay. Are you familiar with the sound effect of the opening and the closing of the door?
It's like
when somebody...
Like it actually sounds like a door opening and closing. Like
yes.
Ka-choom, or a...
Right. What I have done is I have recreated that and I'm going to do my impression of the door closing.
Okay,
are you ready?
You're going to do an impression of it with your voice? Okay, go ahead.
No.
Well,
I can reenact the exact timber of the door closing.
Okay,
and it goes such as like this. You ready?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Okay, what?
How do I know you're not playing a clip? It sounds so real.
All right, listen. This is me signing off. All right, listen. I'm going to sign off. I'll talk to you guys later. All right, take care.
Wow, that's actually dead on. I don't have the clip to play, but you know what? Anybody who's ever used AIM, which would be anybody with a computer in 1996, bravo, I would say. I think they would be standing up right now applauding the screen or whatever they're listening to. I don't know. It's an American treasure, just like Ed McMahon. And, you know, there is a new American treasure, Frank, that everybody's talking about. It's a certain half-Asian, a certain white wife, and a certain bunch of slightly Asian children, John and Kate plus 8. Now, everybody's already spoken about this, but I don't think we've fully given our full feelings about the importance of this show. Do you watch this reality show, Frank?
Well, I don't watch it per se. My wife watches it. I'll see it in passing. You have a situation here where you have a husband, wife, they have 8 children, and they became multimillionaires just by having their life filmed. And it's a great – it's a good gig. It's such a good gig, and this guy had to fuck it up. I mean, if you get – what are the chances that you can get a gig like this?
Well,
become
no,
a
I don't,
multi-
I'm one of the people that don't know what's going on. Explain to me what's happened. Why? How is this gig fucked up?
Well, they have the 8 children, and the thing is that, you know, you said they in the light, they film their whole life, okay? They film them in their house in Pennsylvania, wherever the fuck they are.
Okay.
And John supposedly had an extramarital relationship, and he was caught. Now, all this guy has to do is make millions of dollars and sit in his fucking house and change diapers and help his kids with his homework, and he has millions of dollars.
Sure.
He couldn't – how fucking – how horny you got to be that you can't just do that and shut your mouth. He's got to go out and try and get laid by somebody else.
I mean, Frank,
just don't fuck us. That's such a good deal. You don't fuck something like that.
How horny do you have to be to not do that? Frank, I don't know if you're aware of the aphrodisiac of having 8 fucking babies in a house. But
what about the aphrodisiac of money and becoming a millionaire for sitting in your fucking home?
Yeah, but, you know, despite however far you get, you have what's-her-name, you know, cutting you down in the fucking rice aisle. I said wild rice! Are you dumb? Whatever. Just fucking any decision the fucking guy makes is just constantly, you know, cut down, belittled, every fucking thing. He wants Rice-A-Roni. He gets the ShopRite brand. Oh, she, you know, she's not having it. He gets the wrong milk. Everything he does is wrong in her eyes. And it's because they don't like each other. They never fucking did. But they realize, hey, we have a lot of fucking kids. The town's going to give us free shit. And now we're getting a show that we can stretch out forever, right? Or until ratings start to dip. How many seasons did they have? I think this is the 5th season. I think it's the 5th season. I haven't seen a fucking episode yet. So how many years can go by? Yeah, are you there, Frank? He can't fucking hear me. This is fucking brilliant.
I hear you now.
Okay. Well, how many fucking years do you think can keep going on and on of just a wife, a husband, and 8 kids? Who's going to give
a shit? For as many years as you can, people are going to pay you. Can people – what if people paid you to just be at home and take care of Teddy?
No, but what you said, Frank, was as many years as they'll pay you. It's not going to be interesting to everybody fucking year after year. This isn't the fucking Truman Show. No one gives a fuck about their slightly Asian kids, their fucking relationship or their house. No one gives a fuck. They did for a few years. It's starting to fade. They realize that. So what happens now? Oh, great. Well, we knew we hated each other from the fucking get. So let's explore fully hating each other, separating, and adding a new dynamic. And then maybe we can stave off the fucking Mormon family that obviously the mother has no fucking life. I think it's 26 and counting. Were you aware of this show? I think they have 19 kids, something like that.
I was not aware of this show.
There's a Mormon family that, you know, it's been an internet meme for years where they say the vagina is not a clown car. And they basically show their fucking family picture. And they have tons of kids that are all dressed up in the Mormon prairie garb. And now they have a TV show. So this is a little more interesting. This woman can't help but fucking get pregnant. She spent, 19 times 9 months fucking with a growing human inside of her. She probably has no idea what her fucking life is like. I'd rather watch that than fucking John and Kate revel about when they had no kids. Oh, back in college, it would be nice to get away from the kids. So they get away from the kids and they have a fucking dinner. Who gives a shit? It's not a fucking show. Why do I give a fuck?
I didn't know you felt so strongly about this.
I fucking hate John. I fucking hate Kate. And more importantly, I fucking hate the fact that it's big news. I can't fucking tell you the anger I hear or feel whenever I hear the name John and Kate plus 8. Oh, did you see? They're getting divorced. Oh, and this is what gets me. In this article here, this is what fucking gets me. They say, I don't hate him. Never have. Never will. And he says, I don't hate Kate, but they're getting divorced. Of course they fucking hate each other. Of course they do.
So why do they say that they don't? What benefit is it for them to say that they don't?
To leave it open for when the fucking divorce thing gets tired? Oh, here we go. We're going to come back together and we'll be John and Kate reunited. So we can stretch this bullshit on. You know, our kids fucking moved out. Now it's just us clinging on to not having a job for another few years. It's fucking terrible. I can't stand this fucking show. And the thing is, they said the kids get the house because it's important they grow up in that house. Blah, 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 blah. And they said, John said, we'll conduct our separate lives. I'll raise the kids at the house 1 week and she'll raise the kids there another week. The show must go on. Like it's something that fucking is a necessity for America. He says this like the fucking Constitution is in flames and it has to be put out. The Constitution must be extinguished. No, he's not
saying
that.
We cannot go on without John and K plus A.
What do we do if we don't see the half Asian and his children? I don't understand. My TiVo will be lonely and unfilled. I'll have to go back to watching Susie Orman as she yells at fucking people who are bad at managing money to check their FICO scores. It's fucking garbage. It's fucking garbage, and it's not television. And
it's a fucking snooze what it is.
It is. And you know what? Your wife made a ton of good decisions, Frank. She made obviously some poor ones. One of them being marrying you and subjecting herself to a lifetime of being a mother to her husband. And also the other one is watching John and K plus 8. How fucking little do you value your mind that you're gonna fucking occupy it with the fucking humdrum lifestyle of somebody who just fucking took fertility pills? It's the worst.
I don't know.
Absolute worst.
It's on TV. It's something to watch.
Is it? Is it really something to watch, Frank? Because
hey, listen, as long as she makes my dinner, I don't care what she's watching.
And you've never seen it.
I haven't seen full episodes. I've seen segments of it.
You enjoy watching it. I can tell because
I cannot sit there and watch the whole fucking thing.
Let me tell you something. You're a voyeur. You love to peer into other people's lives. You're intrigued when people they say, come on in. Look at this. Look at this. We've got stairs. We've got a kitchen. We'll do lots of things in them and you can watch us. Go ahead. Look at this. This is my alarm clock. It wakes me up every morning. This is my picture frame. I've got pictures. You need to see all these things, and they rope you in. That's why reality shows are the only thing you watch. That's why nonfiction is the only thing that you enjoy, because you want reality that you wouldn't otherwise come across. You want people to say, "Hey, take a look in here. Take a look at this. Look at this guy's life. This is how he lives. Compare it to how you live." That's what you are, Frank.
I think we're all voyeurs.
Maybe we are to an extent, but I mean, there are certain things worth being a voyeur about.
Or as the French say, voyeur.
Voyeur? Is that really how they say it?
I don't know. I'm just kidding around.
I don't know, Frank. To me, it just doesn't. I'd rather watch a show with you and your wife and your fucking kids than John and Kate and 8. I think it would be a fucking fantastic thing to see you.
It would be a snooze fest.
You know what? A lot of it would be, because you spend most of your day in a fucking a computer chair pretending to work, convincing yourself that you're productive. But the thing is, Frank, the moments where, you know, you lose your mind or you're put into a difficult spot, those are the ones that I look forward to. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have you had any difficulties lately? I mean, it's not all, you know, fake work all day.
It's not. Maybe you could refresh my memory.
I don't fucking know your life. I don't know your fucking life. I mean, you have kids. Your kids are done with school now, right?
Tomorrow's the last day of school.
Oh, tomorrow's the last day of school. Did you have to do any activities the end of the year or anything like that? Did you have to go to a graduation?
My daughter had they did a thing. All the fourth graders had to do a tribute to their respective families. They had to talk about their families. So all the families of the fourth graders had to come to the school, and each child did a speech on the family.
Okay.
So we're sitting in a classroom. And
so your kid is talking about your family, her family. My dad is clueless. My mom does everything. I have a brother and a sister, and my dad is afraid of poops. And he always tells me not to sit on toilet seats. And he yells at mom for making bad meatloafs.
How come my daughter sounds a lot like Jimmy Francone?
And Amanda and every other voice. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not an impressionist.
I thought next thing you were going to say is, he's the coolest.
He's the coolest. Actually, I'm talking about my dad, so he's not. He's the stupidest. Anyway, continue. Right. So she's giving a presentation about her family.
We're sitting in metal chairs, and you know, metal folding chairs that are just wedged against each one another. There's
just
no,
to pack in the people. It's a small room.
Yeah, they're just tight. There's no, you know, your elbows are hitting somebody else's elbows. Blah 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 blah.
That's the worst.
Now the people behind me is the mother of my daughter's friend. Okay. And the friend has been over at my house plenty of times. She's like one of my daughter's like really good friend. And so the mother was sitting directly in back of me. And this is a woman who I know. And during the course of the program, she's constantly jamming the point of her toes into my ass to the point where I can't concentrate on what's being read out loud from the students. I'm agitated. Irking me.
So she's got her foot through like the little gap where the backrest is.
She's resting.
Is it intentional?
I don't think it's intentional. She just, you know, I guess she had her legs crossed, and that's how her feet or toes are hitting my A's. So
hitting your
My A's.
Oh, okay.
Now the problem I have is as follows. Okay, what is the protocol in these types of situations? Now let me tell you what I did. Okay. I didn't know, you know, if you're in a movie theater, okay, you'll turn back and you'll give the person a dirty look or say, you know, you got a problem. But when the person is an acquaintance of yours and this person is doing this, I didn't know what to do. At first, I turned around quickly. I didn't look at her in the eye, but I turned around quickly to let her know that it's bothering me.
Did you look down at her foot?
Pardon?
You didn't want to look her in the eye, but did you look at her foot?
Yes.
So you looked at her foot. Maybe she didn't see you look at it.
Right. So then I tried to move the chair up, but because it was wedged against the chairs on either side of me, I couldn't move the chair.
So
I don't know. I didn't know what to do. What is the situation? What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, I mean, if you're not like Ed McGrath, who's typing how hot this is in the
what?
He's in the Heroes Talk room typing, oh, how hot, that's hot, blah, 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 blah. He wants people to lodge feet into his A's, as you've said. But if you don't want it to happen, then you do what you always do when something is happening that you don't want to happen. You fucking end it. You turn around and say, hey, you want to move your foot?
You don't understand. See, you're not a parent, so you don't understand relationships.
Let me ask you something. Do you care if that kid ever comes to your house again?
It's my daughter's friend.
Do you care if that kid is in your house ever again, regardless of the relationship of your daughter? Do you enjoy that kid's company?
I don't play with the kid.
There you go. So no loss if the kid never comes to your house again, right? And you, by the way, let's keep in mind, you have a toe in your ass. Okay? You're put off by this slightly. You did the look at the foot thing. That's polite. You turn around, look at the foot, and then, you know, people would look in the eyes and give a glare, and then that person would feel bad, and no words were said, and hopefully the toe would go away, but it didn't. So you have to do the next best thing. You turn around, and you say, hey, you want to move your foot? And if they say, what? It's in the crack of my A's! That's what you say. It's in the crack of my A's! And then you tell them, Frank. I mean, I hope you don't give this advice or at least paint these pictures, scenarios or whatever, to your kids, because they're not going to know what to do when they want something to stop. I mean, I've always learned from Webster and other celebrities of the 80s that when something is going wrong that is perhaps icky or unenjoyable, you should say no, go, and tell. So since you're an adult, you'd be the one that you would tell. So just tell yourself that this isn't enjoyable. Turn around and say, get your fucking foot out of my goddamn ass. What the fuck is wrong with you? Don't you feel your fucking hoof touching my fucking cheeks?
You know, you're trying to be outrageous.
No, I'm not. I'm these are the true feelings, Frank. Isn't that what you're
feeling? That's not how adults react.
I understand that. You don't say that in the classroom, but isn't that how you felt inside?
Yes, I wanted to.
There are ways to say that. There are ways to get that point across. And it isn't timidly peeking back at the foot and, I guess I could just scrunch around in my seat, maybe.
I had to sit up and I had to like sit almost with my ass hanging over I had to move forward to the point where.
Like when it's a hot seat and you don't want to feel the warmth? Yes, sit on the edge.
Yes.
But that's because the seat is hot and that's your seat. This is the fact that somebody is doing this and it can easily be stopped. So you have to stop them, Frank. The protocol is, here's the protocol. You don't want to exchange words. You're willing to look down at the foot. The very first step you should do because you want to keep this handle, it's a little bit gingerly. You look down, you turn around, very, very visibly, very deliberately, turn around, look down at the foot, and then look up at the person, and maybe give a gesture like, huh? Like that.
And I'm sitting here rationalizing to myself, am I the bad guy or is she the bad guy? She's the one who's doing this to me, but yet I feel bad if I turn around and say something to her.
Now, I need to ask you something. Are you exaggerating when you say her foot was in your A's?
It was the point of her shoe, her toe, you know, was it wasn't in my ass crack. It was
touching your ass.
My ass cheek. It was like being, I could feel the point of her
okay,
fucking shoe.
So it's not that bad. You felt it. It probably wasn't as deep as you're making it sound. You're literally making it sound like she's touching last night's fucking supper. And it's just touching your cheek. Okay. It's a little bit annoying because
it's
maybe
annoying.
Because okay, maybe it's not as constant. Right. Like if it's a constant press on you.
Yes, it was pressing, you fuck.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now you're getting loud with me, but I don't have a foot on your ass. See, if I had my fucking shoe on your ass, would you talk to me that way, motherfucker?
Listen, when you're in a movie theater and people are tapping the back of your chair, what is your protocol?
And they're tapping. I turn around. I go.
Their feet are banging against the back of your chair. What do you do?
I turn around and I peek. And my actions are different depending on the size of the person. Let me just say, and when I say size, I also include hue, okay? The hue of the skin tone definitely changes the actions, in my own opinion.
I don't know.
However, based on the person, I do a quick profile, and I will either, if I know I can take this person, I'll say, cut it out! Yell at!
Hey!
Something like that. Not like, oh, guys, you know, you're tapping on my... Timid people don't get shit. They get fucking shit on, Frank. You're going to be timid your entire life. You're going to get continually shit on.
Well, have you ever, because you were afraid of the person sitting behind you and was too much of a pussy to confront the person, have you ever got up and moved?
You know what? That is what I'll do. And I'll get up and I'll glare at him. I'll glare at him. See, that way I'm kind of not selling out completely and being a 100% of a pussy.
Now, but
let's face it, I'm
is that a problem?
In that mode, I'm being a little bit of a pussy. I'm definitely pussying out because I don't want to get knocked out while I'm trying to watch Up. Okay, I'm watching a fucking kid's film, and I don't need an urban youth, pulling something on me. So maybe I'll glare at him. I'll make that sound as I get up. And then I'll pound something and then walk away a couple seats. And then go sit down. But I generally don't want to rock the boat, but if it's really getting to me, I'll say something. Like if somebody's decided to give a commentary to a movie, say, shut up!
Back in my day when I was in high school, we didn't have stadium seating like they have now.
Yeah.
So you'd have to sit, and God forbid somebody with high hair or a big fat head would sit in front of you. You were screwed. Your whole fucking night was ruined.
Yeah.
It was ruined.
Your night was ruined. Why? Yes. You couldn't move. You couldn't go and take the seats that no one wanted where you basically need a fucking chaise lounge to see the movie.
Saying, obviously, if a movie is all packed up, all filled up, you know, you have no choice. But those were the worst days of my life.
Wow. I'm really glad to hear that you've had such a good life that missing portions of a movie screen was really the worst thing you've ever experienced. There's a thing called malaria, and it's killing millions. Right? I just want to let you know. Not being able to see Adventures in Babysitting in fucking 1987.
That was the first movie I saw with my wife, my then girl. Well, I don't know, whatever.
We got it, Frank. So what did you end up doing? You just sat and took it?
I sat and took it like a pussy.
Yeah.
And I waited for the thing to be over.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I didn't stay for refreshments.
You left just to make it known?
Yes, I left in a scene too.
Yeah, I don't know. Was this were there any other festivities that you had to engage in there? Or I mean, did the presentation at least go well?
Yeah, it went well. It went very, very well.
Well, now let me ask you this: Did your kid do better than her kid? Because I imagine that anytime I've seen my niece do something, whether it's like a recital or something, the few times I've actually gone, I've always wanted to make sure that she did better. Like, I felt better if I knew that there was a kid that just was completely fucking up in the same class. So, like, with your daughter, if her friend stuttered the whole fucking time, I think that would be a moral victory that might cancel out the foot.
No, I don't look at it that way. I don't have a, you know, maybe that's how your demented way of thinking.
Sure. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
This is Leo Badfish.
Leo Badfish?
Listen, Frank, I'm surprised you didn't grind against that toe to scratch that furry, itchy anal fissure you got, you sick pervert.
Now, you are a sick fuck, Leo.
Yeah, he is. He's not one to mince words. He just gets in and he gets out. That's Leo.
Yes.
Leo Batfish. Or whatever his name is. I don't know.
But there's something else I wanted to talk about, if I could interject. It was Father's Day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Father's Day.
Father's Day was Sunday. By the way, happy Father's Day, Frank. Did you have a nice time?
Yeah, I had a night. My wife got me something really, really nice. She got me, okay.
What? Sorry, hey! I wasn't paying attention. I missed out. Please continue. What were you saying originally?
She got me, one of those, TVs that you put on the wall.
Wow.
Flats and the big ones, 40 something inches or whatever.
Oh, good.
I thought it was very nice of her.
It is, but were you able to set it up?
You're kidding, right?
Who set it up?
It's sitting in my foyer.
You haven't even used it yet?
How am I going to set it up? I have to get nails and everything to put it on the wall.
Yeah, just right through the screen. So what were you saying before that, when you decided it was Father's Day?
They have these contests that are – in my local paper, they have these contests, father-daughter look-alike contest, where you submit photos to see how much your daughter looks like the father.
Okay.
Now my question is as follows, okay? Do you really want – do girls really want this? Do you want to look like a man? Isn't it better that you don't look like your father?
I mean, yeah. Isn't it – aren't you really the loser if you win that? Like,
exactly.
Wow, you look just like Pops. And like your dad has a wooden leg, a pot belly, and fucking beard.
I mean – You know the girl's got an upper lip with hair on it.
It's a dangerous thing, because there is always the girl that's ugly enough to look exactly like her dad, like present day, and that's kind of an insult, because you can't just overlook that she really does look like her dad, and it would be a fucking crime if she didn't win. But it's also a major blow to her self image.
I mean, listen, I have three children, and two of them look like me, and one looks like the Irish side. Now. Believe me, it's a rush knowing that my daughters look like me. But, you know, I say to myself, when they're older, you know, you don't want to look like a man. You want to look like a woman. And for these people who are submitting these photos. And the funny thing is, they've had the same father-daughter photo that they've had, that they used for this advertisement, has been the same one for the last 5 years.
Are they dressed the same too?
Oh, yeah, they're wearing a...
they have the same fucking shirt.
It's an embarrassment.
Oh, it is. And she's probably got a fishing pole in her hand, and he's got a fish hanging on a line or something. Or they're at a grill, or they're doing something decidedly manly, just to kind of bridge the gap between daughter and father. And it is a little creepy, because, okay, let's say this little girl who, you know, is into Disney princesses and dresses, you know, decides, I like licking a good box every now and then. And she decides, yeah, I do want to dress like a man. I do want to get the man haircut, very short or whatever. And if I could have scruff on my face, fantastic. I'm not Puerto Rican, so it's not going to happen, but I'll just wear some of dad's clothes to high school. And it really happens for you. That's the only other way it can fucking happen. If you look a lot like your dad, you know, what happens when you become a lesbian? You actually look like your dad. And it's not good. Like, if your daughter decided, I want to be a man, like she's Chastity Bono, she wants to be a man, and she's going to start dressing like a guy, get a guy haircut, she's going to look like you.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
It's a little bit, yeah, it's cute when they're young, right? Yes. But if you have a 16-year-old daughter and you win that contest, it's not so fucking cute anymore. Not so
It's a goddamn embarrassment is what it is.
It is. It is. But she did well in that presentation. It's fantastic.
Very well. Very happy for her. Yeah.
I do want to plug something here, Frank. I do have a plug.
Oh, really?
It's for our buddy Dom. Are you familiar with Dom?
I've
Monocode?
Heard of him. Yes. Yeah, Monocode, well, I don't know what that refers to, but anyway, I know who Dominic is.
He's
yes.
got a bit of an event going on, presented by RonFez.net, Corby Audio, and our very own HearUsTalk.com. It's the Vagabond Souls with special guest MC Barbara. Friday night, July 24th, at the Bitter End on 147 Bleecker Street between Thompson and LaGuardia in the Big Apple, NYC. So go check them out at myspace.com/thevagabondsouls and see them live Friday the 24th at the Bitter End. We're going to take a break here, and during the break, we'll play one of their songs. It's the Vagabond Souls. We'll be right back with the DJ New Style Show.
The DJ New Style Show will be back after... something.
I was down when I first saw you. It was almost like you knew my name. It was all that I could do. When I got next to you, my baby put me down. My baby put me down. I crawled in my hole. To return, I come out now and now. I fall apart in my sink. I was wrapped up in my dream. My baby put me down. My baby put me down. Standing in the rain, calling out your name. And all in all the room, when I get next to you, and my baby put me down. My baby put me down.
DJ New Style Show.
When the weather starts to warm up, everyone wants to hit the gym to look good. But there's no need for all that. You can look good by sporting your favorite Hear Us Talk logos and designs all year round. Log on to hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and check out the latest apparel. Men and women can find everything from t-shirts and track jackets to hooded and zippered sweatshirts featuring all of your favorite Hear Us Talk designs. If not hitting the gym has left you too big or too small, we'll have a size to fit you. So check out hearustalk.spreadshirt.com and cover yourself with us.
I got two fine-ass chicks in robes, you know what I mean, running around chasing each other, being silly, my niggas. I'm just sitting on the couch. I'm naked. I have no clothes on. I'm looking at the fucking flat screen TV, just balls hanging everywhere, dick out, and I'm thinking to myself, I am the most blessed nigga on motherfucking earth. Thank God for my Chevy Caprice.
The DJ New Style Show.
Bow, bow. Shake it, make it, bow, bow, bow. Welcome back to the DJ New Style Show. Exclusively on Heroes Talk. That's heroestalk.com. That was My Baby Put Me Down by The Vagabond Souls. MySpace.com/TheVagabondSouls. Go there. Download. Listen. Love it. And attend on Friday night, the 24th of July, Bleecker Street. Oh, the bitter end. It might help. Just wander down fucking Bleecker Street until you hear music, and then walk inside and pray it's the right place. We're back. Frank, did you have a nice break? I hope it was well. I hope it found you well, and hope you're good, and blah, blah, blah.
I'm very well.
Good. Fantastic. That's about all we got. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. No, Frank, there's more. We have lots of things to speak about.
Oh, really?
How dare you fall for my trick?
Oh.
I don't know.
I was getting all excited, too.
Yeah, I mean, Frank, you know, this is an event, the 24th. I'm not going to be able to go. I wanted to.
That's a shock.
It's a shock? What do you mean?
Nothing.
Yeah, anyway, Frank, it's got a location, and it's got a date. So if someone says, hey, why don't you come here? Why don't you go there? It's at the bitter end. And you say, oh, okay. What are they going to tell? What are they going to ask you? What usually happens when someone mentions a date and a place to you?
Oh, how are you going to get there?
Why is everybody so fucking concerned with the way that you're going to go? Does this happen to you a lot? Like if I get invited, hey, let's go to the so and so diner. Okay, sure. So, well, where are you coming from?
Yeah. Well, yeah, this happens a lot. I mean, like, if I have to go to a certain destination, the person will say, well, where are you coming from? Which way are you taking? I said, you know, don't worry about it. I'll get there on my own.
No. Are you going to take the turnpike? Are you going to take the parkway? What are you going to do?
And then I get offended when they put down the way I'm going to go.
Okay?
I get offended. My route is being attacked.
It is.
I will go the route I want to go. Don't attack it.
And the thing is, you're being attacked before you even reveal your route. The fact that they're asking is this person basically says he doesn't know where he's going ever. He can't navigate his way in any place.
No, listen,
so I better offer directions without him even fucking requesting them.
I have Hackstrom maps for every county in New Jersey. And the fact of the matter is as follows.
Which New Jersey map does Bleecker Street appear on, right?
Okay. Anyway, what I'm saying is as follows. What happens is they'll start making, you know, not making fun of, but they'll start putting down the way I'm going. Okay. so in essence, they're putting me down like I'm a buffoon.
Yeah. And does this happen to you a lot? I mean, you drive a lot for your job, but it happens to me personally. Like it never happens to me with my job, but would this ever happen to you from like a client or an associate or something like that with your job?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Want to know which way I'm coming from.
See, now, that's got to be worse. Because that your job is to drive places. And this person is basically saying, right, you can't do your job. It's obvious to me you don't know how to do your job, so let me do it for you. Where are you coming from? Don't worry, I'll get the directions for you.
And I could be coming from a different place each time. I may not be starting out at the same point. And then I got to sit here and explain this to them. Listen. Yeah. I'll go. I'll get there. You tell me what time to be there. I'll be there. Don't worry about how I'm going to. I had one person, you know, when I told this person the way I was going there, the person said, oh, God, I heard of this person say that. I mean, what kind of I was, you know, the humiliation I felt when this person said that.
Oh, man. They basically said, this guy knows nothing. He is just the fucking worst. Why am I even on the phone with him? Hold on. I'll give you the good way.
Let me tell you a little bit of story, a little quick history of myself. I had a fear as a child of getting lost. Okay, I had a very, very terrible fear of getting lost. I didn't.
You?
I couldn't make my way out of a paper bag. Hmm. I'd get lost going in a circle. So what I did was I overcame that fear, and I learned to read maps. I learned what the broken bar meant. I learned what the red line meant, what the green line meant.
Yes! Thank you, Frank, for exhibiting basic fucking skills.
Excuse me?
There are fucking Cub Scouts that can read maps.
No.
It's not a big fucking deal.
My maps are different colors.
Wow. So as opposed to the fucking Braille black and white ones handed out to boy and Cub Scouts.
Listen to me.
The fucking Pueblos have to use facsimile copies of maps because colors are far beyond their young age.
Listen, Mr. Can't Get Anywhere Without His Driving Device, whatever it's called.
Oh, you mean the GPS? The thing that communicates with fucking space?
You cannot function without that.
And literally pinpoints where I am and where I want to go?
You cannot function without that. And I myself can function without that.
Let me tell you something, Frank. I don't fucking need to function without it. I have it. I could put it in my fucking pocket right now and you wouldn't even know. Where are you going to stick your Hagstrom maps besides up your fucking ass with the hopes that the fucking bleeding will stop? Oh, honestly, you carry a crate of maps in your car.
Doesn't matter.
You go and you
fiddle
around
with them. Some of them are
laminate. Well, yeah, because some of the pages are so hot. You need to wipe them down and reuse them.
Let me finish my story, okay? Like I said, I didn't know how to get anywhere. The only way I would learn to get places by the color of the roads, or by I would memorize how to get to a place. I wouldn't learn how to get there. I would memorize how to get from point A to point B. But I didn't want to memorize it. I wanted to learn how to get there. So I picked up maps and I would study them. I would read them in the bathroom with me.
So let me tell you something. Yes. You criticize me for having a GPS. But you just said that you don't really know how to get there. You memorize paths, correct?
No. After
you can't navigate. You need a tool, right? You need your maps. If I take your maps away, can you get places? Can you get to somewhere that you don't know? You've never been there. If I take your maps away,
of course not. But the
very
map
good.
Is, shut up. The map. By reading the map, you're doing more work than you are listening to some woman tell you how to get to a place.
So you think it's more respectable because you've done work?
Yes.
Okay, so naturally,
what
doing...
you have is the cliff notes of getting somewhere. What I have is the actual textbook.
Well, let me tell you something, Frank. What will get you there? Will the GPS get you to your destination? Yes. Will it do it quickly? Yes. Do I have to flip pages? Go A1, F7, no, I don't have to fuck with a map or a grid or find a highway on a fucking, just a goddamn maze of roads. I say I'm here, great, turn it on, plug in where I want to go. I can even look for a kind
what
of place.
What did you do before the GPS?
I used Google. Google Maps, print out directions. It's the same fucking thing, Frank. A GPS is an electronic map. So your aversion to the GPS, your hate of this GPS is a hatred of a more efficient way to use a map. So you're using the map already. You're using it in the old fucking way. Right. You're using an abacus and calling people that use a calculator stupid. And that's the dumbest argument I've ever fucking heard.
What year did you get your driver's license?
1997.
Okay. So 1990. So there have always been Google Maps have been around since 1997. Is that what you're trying to say? You always have Google Maps.
What I would do is I'd ask how I get to places. I would accept.
See, I don't rely on other people. I do things myself.
That's fine. I didn't have to do it for too many years, Frank. Frank, there were fucking navigational programs in 97, but when I didn't have access to them, I would ask. I would say, "Oh, how do I get here?" Oh, okay, you go 80 to 287 to fucking blah 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 blah. Okay, great. Now I know where I go.
I've had my driver's license since 1987. I have more experience than you driving.
Yeah. You also have more experience breathing and being afraid of things. I mean, you were afraid of getting lost, Frank. And I know that there are certain relatives of mine who want me to reveal a little story from when I was a child. But, Frank, when I was a kid, I wasn't scared of being lost. I saw on the beach, I saw fucking Jeep tracks. I was down the shore. My family, I saw Jeep tracks, and I just wanted to see the fucking Jeep. So I followed the fucking tracks. I vaguely remember it. I was stepping on castles and sandcastles and other things and people's sandwiches and shit. I have vague fucking visuals of it. But I wanted to see the Jeep, so I followed the tracks. I got lost. but I eventually got found. No fucking harm, no fucking foul. I didn't get to see the Jeep, but Frank, it's not a big deal to get fucking lost because you can find your way back or be found and then brought back as your fucking family.
But isn't it true you were crying when you were lost? Isn't it true?
No, I was. I wanted to see a Jeep, and I was following the tracks that would obviously lead me to one.
Now, was this Daytona Beach?
No, it was one of the Jersey Shore.
Okay, because I wasn't aware that they were allowed to drive on the beach. Anyway, moving on.
Lifeguards, Frank. You ever hear that? Thanks. Very smart. Very smart and very adept. So yeah, so you think people are smart asses when they try to help you out because it's snide a little bit. It's kind of like writing you off as powerless or unable to help yourself.
Do you realize that within a matter of less than 2 weeks, remember it was the beginning of July last year where I got – when I was going to Lake George, I got the ticket for tailgating a cop?
Yes.
Remember that? Okay. And I got the points. Well, if you go 1 year without getting any tickets, you'll get points taken off your license. So within the next 2 weeks, since I've had no tickets during this last year – those points will most likely be removed.
All of them? Are you sure that all of them is going to be
gone? The problem is, I don't know how many points they gave me. I don't know. I don't know how many points I have.
I'm looking it up right now, Frank. It says you have 16 points.
The most you can get is 12 in New Jersey.
Well, you did it in New York.
So my point is, I don't even know how many points I have, but I got to assume at least 3 of them are going to be taken off.
By the way, someone that has the name John Gosling is saying, what a loser for you to tailgate a cop. Kind of, yeah, and you know what? It's true. I don't know if we've cracked on you enough in the year's time it's been, but why were you tailgating a cop? It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Obviously, I wasn't aware it was a cop because it was one of those police cars that didn't have the lights on top. So I didn't realize it, okay?
There are certain makes. You can tell what the fucking car is.
Well, you know what? I wasn't paying attention, obviously. You think I intentionally tailgated a cop?
Well, did you?
So I am on pins and needles now for the next week and a half to 2 weeks because my luck is I'll get a fucking ticket the day before the 1 year anniversary. And deep down in your heart, you're praying that I do get a ticket.
I kind of am, but you know what, Frank? I think it's good to hear that eventually you will have a clean driving record. Frank, the germ freak, will once again have a clean slate. Tailgating a police officer, no big problem, because that was about 365 days ago. You're a new man. You have new ideals. Frank, you have been given a second chance. What do you have to say for yourself?
Hello!
Hopefully, you make it to 86. You absolutely won't. Ed McMahon will have surpassed you, not only in being a second banana, but life, as you drop dead at 42, like Elvis. God, we wanted to have some inspirational thing for you, Frank, but we can't. We just can't muster enough enthusiasm. I mean, it's a lot of disgust that I feel when I hear that somebody's been tailgating a cop, making poor decisions. Go ahead, please.
The first ticket I ever received as a newbie driver, I got a ticket a month after I got my driver's license. I got a tailgating ticket. It was a 5-point ticket. So I'm accustomed to tailgating people.
It's almost as though you can't have other people on the road.
Right, exactly. And you yourself have never gotten a ticket, isn't that correct?
Oh, I've gotten tickets. I've gotten 0-point tickets. I've gotten things called unsafe operation, and they have a certain threshold of those tickets.
Now,
that you
isn't
get.
It true that the first time you got a ticket, you started to cry? You told me that.
No, I never did. I was irritated. I thought I would get something much worse because, you know, when you're in a 35-mile-an-hour zone, you're going, you know, crazy speeds of 40. You know, it's really warranted to get, stopped and treated like a terrorist. Basically.
Oh, is that what happened?
The guy was all like fucking a hard ass. It was when I just got my new car. I wasn't exactly used to. When you get a different car, the accelerator doesn't exactly feel the same. You put the same pressure on it. Okay, it goes a little faster. You don't necessarily notice. So I said, I'm sorry, I just got this car, and the accelerator didn't feel the same, and I was going a little bit faster than I should have. He goes, oh, you got a new car. Does it come with a speedometer? Like that. And I'm like, oh, shit, now this guy's going to be a fucking dick to me. So he came back. He's like, cutting your brake. Unsafe operation, 0 points. Mandatory court appearance. Didn't tell me it was like $500 ticket. Something like that. And then I got another one because I don't like to go slow. And apparently you can only have, you can't have three. More than two. Your third one gets you all kinds of fucking punishment. I don't know. And I learned this from the guy in the traffic court. There's always the guy who's like, oh, what'd you get? I'm like, oh, I got unsafe operation. He's like, yo, I got two of those, son. I don't even know what I'm going to do right now. They always know the rules. They're like, yo, did he have his lights on? No, he didn't have his lights. Yo, because if he didn't have his lights on, man, that's entrapment. Okay, then why are you in court with me? What the are you defending someone? Where is your defendant? No, oh, you're here for yourself. Thank you. There are people that fucking think they know the law, and they have to tell you this all the time. There are ways to fucking get by it, and it's just fucking annoying. It's just fucking annoying, Frank. You know what else is annoying me? People. Mostly people. As I mentioned before, there's probably the best bagel place. Subject of many a heated debate in forums such as ronfez.net, the epic, do the toppings go all the way around on a bagel? And by the way, Frank, I want to ask you, when you think of bagel and you think toppings, what do you think?
I think of cream cheese.
Okay, what do I call them then? Fucking seasonings? What's a sesame seed to you then? What's a poppy seed?
Oh, everything bagels.
Is that, okay, do the toppings go all the way around?
Of course they go around.
I don't fucking believe this.
They go around the top of the thing.
They go on the top.
They go around all around the top portion of the bagel.
So if I flip it over, if I flip the bagel over,
you get nothing.
You get nothing. Fucking nothing. Every bagel I've ever seen, except for a certain twit pick on Deb, a Happy Typing Girl's Twitter. She did show a fucking bagel that had everything all the way around, and it blew my mind. It just completely shattered my world. But every bagel I've seen always
had the
bottom.
That blows your whole theory.
It does. It does. My don't cut the bagel in half and leave the bottom theory. That thwarts that. But it's such a rare case because I've never seen this. Anyway, Frank, I go and I love the bagel place that I go to. Love it. I recommend it to everybody. It's Java Joe's, Ledgewood, New Jersey. Get your ass there. Go there very early and get good bagels. And you have to go there early. And when you see people pulling in the parking lot with you, you know they're after the same thing. So you have to beat them in there. You ever do that, Frank? You pull into a restaurant or something the same time as someone else. Do you try and snipe them for their spot? Do you try and park real quick and have someone run in and reserve a table? You have someone, you know, everybody. Okay. Get your seatbelts off. Real quick.
What we used to do is back in my day when I was a young teenager and there was a line for a restaurant, we would drop off somebody at the door and then go park the car. This way they can put their name in quicker. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you would do that. Well, we saw a very interesting family at the bagel place, and a little background of the bagel place here that I've talked about, which is not a shitty bagel place, I'll have you know. Very fine bagels. You go in there, and they have the little handy whacks. Now, do you know what a handy whack is, Frank?
A handy whack?
Yes.
I know
what
that
is. It's the little waxed tissue paper thing that you use to reach in and grip your own bagel. It's self-serve.
Or that the worker may utilize that as well. If you go to Dunkin' Donuts and then you get a Dunkin' Donuts.
And they leave it in the bag.
Da-da-da-da-da!
Wait, what happened?
That is my biggest pet peeve of all.
I
think our first video we ever made together is I discussed that.
Yeah, you did. But
these heathens at Dunkin' Donuts or wherever will take the fucking tissue, get your donuts, and then throw that disgusting foul substance with their fucking hand fluids all over it in the bag, and it rolls all around touching your fucking donuts, defeating the whole purpose of utilizing it in the first place.
It's not a sponge, Frank. It's not like they've been holding it all day. It's a piece of wax paper. It's not going to do anything. They pick it up. They give you the courtesy of not handling the actual donut. So you
but
don't
they're putting it in the bag anyway. Don't you understand?
I do, but they...
So all the donuts are rolling around anyway. So whenever I go to a place like that, I say, please do not put the tissue in the bag.
And you know what they do? They drop your donut into the bag. And then when they put the other donut in, they touch everything else. And then they come out with the paper. They go... And they come out with the paper. See? Okay. And they throw it out for you. And then you're satisfied. But
I don't doubt it.
They've done a little swishy in there. They put their hand
I don't doubt it.
So you reach in and you pull your own bagels out at our bagel store. And it's fine. I think it's very good because you get to do the touch test to make sure you're getting the freshest of the bagels. You take the paper and you poke on the bagel and say, oh, it's very soft. Oh, it's warm. Let's take the bagel and put it in the bag. And now you can go. Well, the reason we rushed in is because when we saw this family, which was maybe a mother and two or three kids and a bunch of furniture in a pickup truck with no tailgate, we passed by and saw the son with his hand in his ass. In, and I'm not saying in, like you said, with the toe of the person behind you. I'm saying in, like, in his ass.
Underneath the pants.
In the pants, in between the cheeks. Going nuts. Going to town. Swabbing. Okay? And we're dry, as this is as we're pulling into our spot. And then licks one of the fingers and goes in the front now. And he's jiggling. He's jiggling it.
Let me get this straight. You drove into the parking lot. You know, your heart was all set on these fucking bagels. You were anticipating them.
Yes.
And you saw something that you creeped you out. And then what?
We had to get in there as soon as possible. His mother was getting shit out of the car. That's why the kid was unattended in a parking lot waiting to be picked off by somebody who's just really hungry like I was. And he's just going to town on his genitals and anus. So I figure we have a very short window here. I said, Amanda, let's go in the bagel place, pick out our bagels, and then pay for them. Or wait. We can wait all day. Once we have our food, it doesn't matter. We get our food and we wait. But no. This is the deal. We rush in there and now we can't decide what we want because what we wanted is gone. We wanted the French toast bagel. Gone. Not there.
And you're under the clock here.
We're under the clock. All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, man, I can't. I'm turning into you. I'm all nervous. I don't want little boy balls and ass on my fucking bagel.
I'm surprised.
I'd prefer Taylor Ham. I don't want little boy balls on my fucking bagel in the morning. So I'm making a split decision. I'll get the jalapeno and cheddar. I'll just grab that. Now, Amanda can't decide. She's not very quick on the draw with some of her decisions. But even the fucking quickest decider or decision maker would have been put off because as we turn our heads, oh, there's a little bally assy boy reaching in the fucking bagels. He's reaching in. But luckily he's a child and he has a very, very strong sweet tooth because he was reaching for the cinnamon crunch and the raisin bagels. I'm like, oh, looks like Amanda, it looks like you better go dry. You better go everything or fucking multigrain.
Are separated by the different flavors or in little compartments.
They're in like little open bins and all in the front there's the bags and the handy whack little paper things. Now children don't fucking care about toilet seat covers. They don't care about washing their hands or using the little protective sheets because they're self-important little fucks and they don't think they're disgusting, which is why they would stand in a parking lot scooping, itching and juggling their balls through their fucking little Batman pants or whatever the fuck he had on. I don't know. But they don't care. So the idea that the fucking the paper cloth thing, the handy whack dispenser is there, is just completely, you know, this is preposterous to a child. So he just reaches in, he's pulling out this one. I don't want that one. I want a raisin. I want this and that. And the mother, What do you think the mother would do, Frank? If your kid had ass hands and he's going nuts in the fucking bagels, what would you do?
If it was my kid?
Yeah, if it's your kid and he's got little bally hands and he's pawing on the bagels.
I rip his arms off.
You rip his arm. You smack the kid. You pull him away. What are you doing? Nothing. Encouraging the kid because I guess they're moving. She goes, get whatever you want, kids. Last time we're eating here. So they don't give a fuck. They're not coming back. He's putting his shit and piss and little fucking ball sweat all over the place. He doesn't give a fuck. Get a good one. Never coming here again.
You know,
and here I am trying to enjoy my bagel place now.
So what's happening is the more flavor compartments he's touching, the less choices that you're beginning to have.
Yeah, yeah. And luckily he didn't touch what I was trying to get or what Amanda was getting. We ultimately rushed our decision and ran to the register. And every time we would see somebody come in, as they were waiting in line behind us, we would fucking cringe. Like, oh, the raisins are fresh! Must have just came out of the oven. They're so fresh.
Those aren't raisins.
I didn't have the heart to tell these people, you're eating little boy balls.
All right, let me ask you a question. Say I came into that bagel place after you. Would you let me know what had happened?
I absolutely would, because I know you. I'm not going to strike up a conversation that where the icebreaker is, hey, watch out. There's some shit on those bagels. You see this dirty kid behind me? Yeah. His, irresponsible mother let her son paw on his ass and stink palm and then handled the baked goods.
Why didn't you say something to the mother?
I got my bagels. Honestly, I got mine. And I was too... Listen to me. I was too concerned with getting my own thing. If I had failed in my mission, I would be bagel-less because I wouldn't get one after
that. All right,
let
me ask you this
question. And if I was left without a bagel, I would have fucked... There would have been words.
You definitely... You honestly would have said something. If that guy had taken all the flavors you wanted and rubbed his hands on it, you would have said something to the mother.
I go, your kid is touching all the bagels. And I wouldn't say that his hands are dirty unless she goes, he's clean. Like, I just saw him touching his ass. Well, you were over there not even watching him. And there would have been an argument, Frank. But, you know, sometimes you got to go to war. Like when someone's got a fucking pump in your ass crack. You need to go to war with these things. When they're tapping on your fucking seat, they're irritating you. They're putting their filth and sweat and grime and shit and just fucking mess all over your food. You need to fucking speak up unless you've already been fed and you couldn't give a shit less because, let's face it, those bagels are going to be gone at the end of the day. I'll go there tomorrow and they're not coming back. I know that. They've said that. It's their last time here. So I'm pretty much flying pretty easy. Now that I have my bagels in the bag, waiting to pay. So I couldn't give a shit less about anybody else.
This story reminds me of somebody I know out in the West Coast. He was attending a function, and he noticed that there was somebody there who had a dreaded disease, and it was a Buffett style. And he raced
what
to that
style?
Buffett.
It was a what a style?
It was Buffett style. And he raced to that line. He raced to that Buffett line to make sure he got on that line before the person with the disease did.
Wow. Someone had the germ, the high five.
And, yes.
He wanted some fucking... You can't fault the guy wanting some scrambled eggs for himself. He wants to go up there and have some scrambled eggs that, weren't touched by someone with a disease, as you say. It's not a bad thing, Frank. I mean, you act like you wouldn't be doing the same thing. Let me ask you something, because I'm not incredibly... afraid of germs. I just prefer not to eat them if I know they're there. If you're in my position, you're hungry for these bagels, and very often your hunger has superseded your fear of germs. That said, you pull into this parking lot, you see this kid stink palming and touching his little dick, and you know he's coming in next. What's your move? Do you even go there? Do you just leave?
No, I when I was at my worst, I threw meals away after I found out that they were contaminated. I once went to a McDonald's or a Burger King and got a whole plate of food. And when I saw that the person who was giving me the food had an open wound on her hand, I took the fucking tray and just dumped the whole fucking thing out.
Yeah,
I did not eat Thanksgiving dinner in 1990 because I thought that the food was contaminated. So I sat there like a buffoon with a puss on my face.
Oh, man. And it was probably the best food ever. It was probably the best year. Everybody was like, oh, God, the turkey's perfect.
Right.
What did you deep fry? Yeah, it's this new thing. We're deep frying turkeys now. Oh, I can't believe it. It's the best thing ever. We won't be able to ever do it again, though. We broke the fryer. And you're sitting there hearing all this shit. At any point during this, because you were too afraid to eat, were you kicking yourself because it sounded good?
Well,
or were you just relieved because you won't eat the contamination?
Well, let me get back to what I'm saying. Back when I had my problem back in the summer of 89, from like 90 to 91, I was, and it's hard to imagine, I was like a skeleton. I was about 125 pounds.
And now you weigh
now
a lot more than
I've
that.
Made
what's your BMI now, by the way?
I'm morbidly obese.
Okay.
But anyway, and the reason why I was so thin back then is because I was afraid to eat because I thought that everything was contaminated. So I wouldn't eat all day. I would just not eat anything. And I got to like 125 pounds. And this happened to be one Thanksgiving where, my mother was making it. And I remember, she went to the reason I thought the food was contaminated was because the cashier who rung the food up was contaminated. So that made all the food contaminated.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't eat that time.
So that's part of your OCD?
Yeah. I'm not like that anymore. Thank God.
Well, I mean, at your worst, did you ever have difficulty throwing things away?
I was a very, very moderate hoarder, because I felt like it would, if I threw something away, it would bring me, it may be good to have it in the future. It may be good to have it in the future. So I went through it. But now I throw everything away. I don't give a shit.
See, now I'm kind of like that. I don't mind throwing things out, but like with underwear and shit, I'll keep a pair of underwear for like years. And I never know when I should throw it out, even if it's ripped up or whatever, because I always feel like I hate doing laundry, so I need a backup pair. Do you ever have an issue throwing a pair of underwear out?
Yeah, I keep them all. Even when my wife buys me some new stuff, I just keep the old ones in the drawer and keep utilizing them.
Because you might need them. You never know when you run out.
I hate to open up that fresh package. I just like enjoying.
Why?
I enjoy seeing the fresh package on my bureau.
Oh, well, you like seeing it all wrapped up. The
yes.
First wear of a pair of fucking underwear is the greatest day of your life. It is. It is. Everything feels so crisp for
you
5 minutes.
You wash it before you wear it?
No. Why would I do that?
Have you ever purchased loose undergarments that weren't in it?
Never. Never.
Because women's, they sometimes they have loose underwears. Like
very often they do, actually.
In a bin. In a bin, and I'm wondering if they themselves will wash them before they put them on.
Well, 316-768-4472 if you want to call the show. That's 316-768-4472. Do you have trouble throwing things out? Undershirts, socks, underwear. Also, if you're a woman, do you ever feel like you have to pre-wash underwear that you buy? Frank needs to know. There are things that he needs to know that, honestly, I couldn't give a shit about. If Amanda decides she's going to buy a loose pair of underwear and wash it or not wash it, it honestly doesn't fucking make a lick of difference to me, so I don't give a fuck. The thing, though, Frank, I will wear socks with holes in them. You have a sock thing, though. You don't like socks. Socks scare you.
Yeah, they gross me out.
Your own socks ever gross you out? Have you ever been grossed out by something you've worn?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like to look at the bottom of my socks. We've discussed this ad nauseum.
Well, no, but the thing is, do you ever wear them out where you get holes in them?
I will not. It's okay to have holes that are not at the sole. It's okay to have a hole at the top.
Because of something will penetrate the fortress that is cotton fabric. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Kent.
Kent, the movie guy. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, when it comes to socks, I'm a total spaz. I have to buy a new pair of socks every week.
Really?
Every
week?
Every week. I go to the mall and I'll just pick up a pair of socks.
But just one pair?
Not one pair. I'll pick up a thing of socks. Nike will sell like six
now,
pairs, $12.
Now, when you buy them, do you just add to your collection, or do you throw six pairs out?
Oh, no. I'll keep some in rotation. Like, I have Gold Toe socks that are more expensive. I keep those. But, like, if it's just Nike socks or whatever, those get chucked after a while, because I've got really monstrous feet, and I just wear through them too quickly.
I'm pretty sure I have socks that are over 10 years old. And they're worthless. They have fucking, they have holes and shit in them. They're all fucking disgusting and thin, threadbare in some parts. And I don't know why. I just feel like if I don't do laundry, I want to have some socks. So I just keep the old ones as backups. It's fucking disgusting. I know. I need to be broken of it, but I don't know. I mean,
they're cheap, man. You can go to Marshall's and get like Nikes.
Trust
for, like,
me, I've bought socks. It's not something new to me. This isn't a foreign idea. Acquiring socks. The thing for me is getting rid of the old ones. I just never do it. I'm like, oh, awesome, new socks. I'll wear nothing but these, and then I run out of them because of, you know, I don't do laundry regularly enough, and I end up, I'm like, okay, great. Looks like 2001 socks are coming back out.
You're
just
gonna have your chick throw him out, man.
Yeah.
Did Kent the movie guy? Was he? I know this is something we were talking about. Something about Facebook or Twitter stalking or something like that.
Oh yeah, I was stalking a chick on Twitter for a while.
Really?
Because I'm a psychopath. And like this girl I know, she recently. Just told me, like, we can't be friends because the reason she gave me, which I don't buy, is she can't be a good enough friend and she feels too much pressure.
Yeah, she definitely doesn't like you.
Hey, let's hang out.
Yeah, she hates you, actually.
Oh, I don't know why. Like, I don't get it because I've known her for, like, 10 years and now it's an on-off, on-again thing, like, for the past, like, 3 years.
Because you're not letting up. That's why. She said, listen, I'm a horrible friend. I can't do this. I'm really bad at being a friend. So we shouldn't hang out.
The thing is, in 6 months, she'll get a hold of me. I'm cool with it. And then this is, like, the third time it happened where I was just like, I don't get it. What is this chick about, like, during those 6 months where we're not communicating? Like, I have no insight into what her world is like. Our world is like, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch her on Twitter. I've been following her on Twitter, and I just came to my, I came to the conclusion, she's crazy. She's absolutely nuts. She's really, really self-involved. And that's what it breaks down to. So, yeah, I was totally, like, going to her Twitter and looking at her. And then recently, I guess she thinks I hate her, which I don't. I'm just kind of annoyed with her. But she goes, why would you ever follow somebody that you don't like? And now all her Twitters are about me. So I...
Did you just link her to this over and over? I was looking for the original one, but I can only find the very terrible Smash Mouth one.
The first time we stopped talking, I linked her to... Or I posted one of those scrolling lyrics flash... things like a complete douche to some like Death Cab for Cutie lyrics or something really just awful and emo and just yeah.
So this isn't someone you want to be friends with. You really had feelings.
I've known her for so long, and the times when we do hang out, we have like a really good time and we have a lot of chemistry is just friends. And then
Frank, shut the fuck up because this is going somewhere. Believe me.
And then this point just comes where she freaks out and has, like, a nervous breakdown over something, and then it's, I can't hang out.
But, Ken,
because every time...
Let me ask you something seriously. You like this girl.
Yeah.
If you could do something so amazing, so impressive, using your skills, do you think this could turn it around?
No, I'm not that impressive.
I think that we should try it anyway. You are Kent the movie guy, correct?
I will for the show, but fucking...
You are Kent the movie guy, yes? This is a segue away from your horrible story about wanting to fuck a girl that doesn't like you. I'm sorry, Kent, but this is how it's going to be. I have a fucking game that Frank put together that I think you'll be a good contestant for, because you do consider yourself to be quite the movie buff.
You're a movie expert.
Well, I am writing for another site professionally now, so yeah, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, that's for a living, so...
Now, you think that if we played a clip of a movie, you'd be able to guess, and a popular movie at that, do you think you'd be able to guess what movie it is?
Based on what?
The dialogue. So a clip of audio from the movie.
Probably. I mean, I watch a lot, but...
Okay, I mean, this has been done a bit, sure. People call it name that movie or guess the quote or something like that, but why don't we give it a shot here? You're really good at, you know a lot of movies?
I see a lot of movies.
Okay.
Let's give it a shot Germ Freak style.
Yeah, let's see what we have here. Frank put these together, so I don't really know. He insisted on this. Name that movie. What the fuck is this?
Maybe you should start with the next clip.
What the fuck? Frank, I don't understand. You're,
that one, the audio is very low.
That had to be a problem. I don't understand even what that is.
That was noted in the notes that the audio was low. Thank
Actually,
you.
It was not.
It was.
Read the notes, son. It's not fucking there, you dope. God damn it.
Read it right now.
Okay, well, so what I'm going to do, Frank, is we're going to play another one here, and this better go well. Whoa. Okay, that's a little loud. Here we go. Name that movie, according to Germ Freak.
Du nicht mehr, wer ich bin? Austin Powers.
What the fuck?
Den Namen habe ich irgendwie verlegt, aber der Face ist sehr fesch.
Frank, what's going on with these?
If you read, I tell you where to start it at, or
Frank,
not start
I'm
at.
Asking you, typically, when you fucking play Name That Movie, what language are the fucking movies in?
I'm getting to that point. This is German.
Oh my god, you fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot, Frank.
I'm gonna go.
Kent, you don't fucking go. Because, Frank, this is where you fucking reveal the twist, fuckface!
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're an idiot! You're a fucking idiot!
You reveal a twist. You're playing a fucking thing.
It's your fucking game, dude. Oh, my God. You know what? Fuck it. I'm not even going to bother. Kent, I'm not... I mean, do you want to try and continue with this, Kent?
Well, I had a question for you that I wanted to ask you earlier.
Yes, what's the question?
Okay, so you were talking about, like, reserving tables at theater or at a dinner or stuff like that, you know? Is there a limit to how many people you need actually to reserve, like, at a movie theater, like a row of seats?
When you go into the theater and you put shit down so nobody sits there?
Because I recently went to go see a midnight premiere, and, like, three girls, like, tried to claim a whole row. And granted, they were there first, but should three girls be able to claim a whole fucking row? Or should I just be able to go, hey, fuck you, that's kind of, like, selfish, your friend should have been here, that's way too much. Like, is there a limit to how much you can hold for other people?
I don't know. I mean, like, I think you kind of have to have one person for every two seats that you're going to try to reserve. I think that's a decent rule of thumb. Frank, have you ever had to do that, Frank, where you had to reserve... things.
Well, you put your jacket on the chair, or you put somebody will put their pocketbook on the chair. Yeah, you could do that. That's no problem. The only situation is as follows: hope to God that you just pray that the movie theater doesn't get filled up, then you're fucked.
Yeah, when you see like the seats around you starting to fill up, it gets a little more nerve wracking trying to fucking hold.
You
those
get
seats.
Nervous.
When
I get
the
nervous.
Fuck are these people? God damn it! You're getting fucking pop. Where? And then you get there like, where were you? It's fucking terrible. It's absolutely terrible. Kent, I'm going to ask you to name that movie.
Okay, we could try it. Try and have it be in English.
Mein Name ist Mustafa. Und ich bin der Mann, der dich jetzt umbringen wird. Daktari!
Name that movie.
Frank, that wasn't in English.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Not in English. How am I supposed to name that movie?
Oh, well, I thought you were a movie expert. I thought that you were such a movie expert that you could interpret.
German? Did I hear Octolieb at the end? What
yes, you
that?
Did, because anybody can do Name That Movie. Frank has decided that the DJ New Style show is on such a level that what we're going to do is you need to name the movie foreign dub version. We have a foreign dub version of certain movies. We're going to play a clip of it, and you need to guess what it is. Actually, I really...
This is the worst game ever.
It is not the worst game ever. I really like the idea, and I think it would be interesting to see if you could actually fucking get this.
Okay, can we play it again, and I'll try and guess it.
Okay, take a guess.
Zephesh.
Mein Name ist Mustafa, und ich bin der Mann, der dich jetzt umbringen wird. Daktari!
There it is. Name that movie.
Fuck.
This was a huge movie in the late 90s. Huge. Huge movie.
Huge movie in the late 90s, huh?
And oh, not only that...
My name is Mustafa! Shing!
Huge movie, and there were three sequels, or a sequel after that, whatever.
It was part of a trilogy, I guess you could say.
A trilogy, and this was the second in the trilogy.
We have a guest from Pristine, Mike from Queens. He says Lion King. No, sorry. The other two straight-to-DVD Disney versions don't count.
When you the laugh gives it away, I think, in the beginning.
I think so. Take a look here.
Zephesh.
Right there. Zephesh.
But the face is Zephesh.
Mein Name ist Mustafa und ich bin der Mann, der dich jetzt umbringen wird. Daktari!
Name that movie, Kent. Name that foreign dubbed movie.
Did all three movies come out in the 90s?
Yes.
Yes. No.
We have a lot of people guessing it in Pal Talk, Kent, and I don't know if my suffix for my name was the movie guy, I think I would have had it with my name is Mustafa. Shing.
You know, this is disappointing, movie man.
I have no clue. I'm just bad. I don't know.
Frank, why don't you do the reveal for him? Just he can't get it, so give him the answer. We'll give him another movie that he'll probably get.
Hold on. I have company, so I have to go.
Oh, okay then.
No, you can do one more, Kent. Your company can wait.
I'll do one more.
The answer was, Frank, go ahead.
This was the second of the Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yes.
Oh, okay, so that was Will Ferrell's character.
We're going to try one here now, okay? Get ready. This is one that you should know.
Wait.
Okay.
Foreign dub, name that movie.
Early 90s.
Okay. Apparently the George Thorogood part isn't necessarily dubbed.
I can't hear a thing.
Hold on, I'm gonna scroll to maybe where there's some dialogue. Listen.
Are you drunk?
Listen.
Yeah. You're drunk.
No.
Yes, you are.
Douglas, no me gusta ver a los pacientes tan inquietos. Quiero que tome Toracine, por favor.
Claro, doctor. Yo me haré cargo de eso.
Here we go.
Policía, para proteger y servir.
Oh, they actually had to translate the writing on the police car? Okay.
I have no clue what's going on. I have a drunk girl in my car.
Listen.
Bedroom. Kent, who's this girl I approached is in your
¿Puede
home?
¿Puede decirme lo que busca?
Her name is Anna.
And is she your girlfriend?
No, she's a really good friend of mine.
She's and what do you guys have planned for tonight?
Does she know movies? Because we'd like to speak to her. Put her on the phone a second. Put her on the phone
a second. Let's talk to her. Let's talk to her.
I want to ask her what.
Yeah. No, it's my friend Ken and the germ freak Frank.
No way!
Hi, who are we speaking to?
Fucking out. No, she's bugging out. She's
just put her on the phone. Just tell her to fucking calm down.
Take the phone.
Take the phone and just fucking relax.
My front door.
What?
What's going on?
There's a lady on the phone over there. Are you talking to her?
No.
How many people do you have there, Kent?
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
How many people do you have there right now?
What did I drop?
Just Anna.
Where? Anna, her name is?
Anna sounds like 20 girls.
Is this Anna Gasteyer from fucking Saturday Night Live? Because I don't know another Anna that I'd like to speak to.
Okay. Put it here. We're on the radio. She doesn't want to talk.
Hello?
Just say something to him. You are too. You can't walk straight. Oh my God!
How did she get here, Kent?
Deal with this, so.
Hey Frank,
how did this girl get to your? Go ahead.
Maybe later on in a later episode, we can have somebody translate this phone call into German or Spanish, and we can play "Name That Foreign Dubbed Terrible Call."
I'm sorry, guys. I gotta go deal with the hot.
All right, go fuck her.
Wait, Ken, hold on a second. Yeah, okay. It's easy to hang up after you say that. It makes it better. Oh man, Frank, I don't know. Maybe if somebody else would like to play that, I don't know. We have a few in store. We don't have to fucking play it, but I figured we had Kent the movie guy on, so let's go to our little stockpile of things. You think the movie guy would be able to guess that this was a certain movie that he probably has seen and probably has watched over and over again? I'm not going to reveal it, even though some of you have gotten it. No, I will not. But I am going to take a quick break here. And this is another one from The Vagabond Souls. This is the Devil Beats His Wife.
DJ New Style Show.
Thank you very much for listening to the DJ New Style Show. HearUsTalk.com, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. Check out DJNewStyleShow.com. Download our shows. Download everything we've ever done. Watch all of our things. Hear all our stuff. Subscribe to this and that and the other. And don't forget that RonFez.net, Corby Audio, and HearUsTalk were presenting the Vagabond Souls. with our very own special guest MC and Daisy of Love expert, Barb, on Friday night, July 24th at the Bitter End. 147 Bleecker Street between Thompson and LaGuardia in New York City. New York City? That's myspace.com/thevagabondsouls. July 24th. I mean, what else are you going to do? You going to count down 24 hours until the greatest day ever? July 25th? My birthday? Yes, you will be doing that. But while you're doing it, you'll be hearing some great music. Won't you, Frank? Isn't that something that you would want to do? Go and check out the Vagabond Souls?
Oh, I'll be there.
Yeah, absolutely. But I wish I could. I have a wedding to go to, Frank. Another wedding. Another one. Another one.
Well, you're a popular fella.
It's either that or Amanda's popular. Her friends are just getting married left and right. Right and left.
It's kind of awkward for you, but anyway.
Why? Now, you think it's awkward to go to a wedding?
Well,
that you're not necessarily friends with somebody? You're there.
No. I'm saying if all her friends are getting married.
Oh, you think the pressure's on then? Is that what it is?
Yes.
The pressure's on, buddy boy. Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that, Frank.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You have a good relationship. Maybe things progress. Maybe they don't. But I'm not saying anything about my relationship here. All you know is that I have a girlfriend, and Frank asks what her name is every fucking time you hear it. Her name is Amanda, and she's awesome. But something else that's awesome that I don't get to see all the time is Daisy of Love. I don't get to see the show, Frank. I know that I made the pledge.
You're missing a lot. You're missing the best TV on tube.
Well, is John in it? Is Kate? Are there 8 kids in it?
They cannot hold a candle to Daisy of Love.
You really think so? In the battle of reality shows, Daisy of Love wins for you.
It's hands down.
Really? I don't know. I mean, we're going to have Barb call in a little bit. She's going to give us the Daisy of Love update any minute now. And she's going to fill us in as she always seems to. Hopefully she doesn't hang up in the middle of the call because, you know, somebody rings the doorbell and decides they're going to refuse to talk on the phone.
Rude.
You know what? It is rude. I'm going to say it's fucking rude. Ladies and gents. 316-768-4472. You're on the DJ New Style Show with Germ Freak. Who is this?
This is Barb.
Barb, is this special guest MC for the Vagabond Souls, Barb?
Yes.
July 24th at the Bitter End, Barb?
Yes, the Bitter End. On Bleecker Street.
Biggest fan of Daisy of Love, Barb?
I am the biggest fan. I'm announcing that now.
You are. I mean, who else would be? Because they would be calling in and not you. If we had Kent the Daisy of Love guy, we'd have him call in and ultimately blow us off for some girl that won't fuck him. However, we have Barb calling in.
I'd like to interject with something. Barb, who was your choice to win Daisy of Love?
Well, I know.
I'll repeat that.
I'm sorry. I missed that. Barb, who did you pick to win Daisy of Love?
Big Rig.
You picked Big Rig.
Jeremiah Riggs. Yes, Jeremiah Riggs.
And naturally, he's doing well. He's still in there hanging in, right?
Oh, he's really? Where's Big Rig?
What happened?
Not Big Wig, it's a Big Rig, you fucking retard.
Frank, you're Big Wig.
He needs a Big Wig.
Yes. So what happened? I'm assuming Big Rig got kicked off the show.
Well, it's unfortunate because he made a zucchini quiche that was amazing.
Wow.
That was the challenge. Yes, wow. all of the remaining men in the house made a dish for Daisy because she cannot cook. So she wants a man who can cook.
Well, wait a minute. Did they choose the dish or were they assigned a dish?
No, they were assigned a dish. They picked out of cards. They ran towards the table like, you know, a bunch of little girls and picked out cards. He got zucchini quiche. And he made a great zucchini quiche, I gotta say.
But wait a minute.
Like you fucking tasted
I know.
It.
I gotta say it was the best zucchini quiche I've ever tasted. The best! But no, what I'm saying is, did they see the things? Like, I mean, were they like, okay, I can't do pizza, I can't do this. Or was it a thing they flipped over and opened and, okay, I have to make quiche?
No, they just walked up to a table and just took cards.
They turned over cards that had
every man for themselves.
Because I was trying to figure out, like, if you pick all right, I'm going to cook and I'm going to make quiche. Isn't that a little flighty? That is a little bit. But it was given to him. That was the hand he was dealt. And he fucking knocked it out of the park. I mean, Barb tasted it. Ask her. It's the best fucking quiche she ever had.
Absolutely. It was the first meal that she got. She had to get a 5-course meal. There were 5 left. And
now, can you name what each person made, Barb?
What?
First of all, who is left? I don't even know the show. I was going to watch it, but I don't even know who's left at the beginning of last week's episode.
This is who we have left. We have Sinister. We have Chi-Chi, who are best friends. We have 12-Pack, who likes to be referred to as Dave.
By the way, 12-Pack is the person that I picked to win this.
I picked him to win!
Roll it back, ladies and gentlemen. Go to DJNewStyleShow.com. DJNewStyleShow.com.
It was definitely DJ Newstyle.
Thank you.
Oh, fuck you!
Whoa!
Anyway.
Easy!
And the fourth and final person is Flex, who, Barb, is it me? Does he wear eyeliner, or am I seeing things?
You know what? He didn't. Now, this is something that Tibbet88 Alex brought up to me, and that's that he did not wear makeup at first, but now he is wearing eye makeup, Frank. Very good pickup.
Thank you.
So it's down to 12-Pack, Chi-Chi, Flex, Sinister, and last week had a Big Rig making an excellent quiche.
Now, and obviously the quiche wasn't good enough, and obviously him telling Daisy, I think I'm falling in love with you, that wasn't good enough either. Because not only did Big Rig get canned by Daisy, but he cried on national television.
Oh, no! He fucking cried.
Right? He cried.
He was in love.
Jesus Christ. He had his heart broken by Daisy of Love. Daisy of Love said it's not meant to be. And he broke down. This is a man with a 1-0 mixed martial arts record. He's undefeated. Oh no, I'm sorry, he's 1-1. He's batting 500, okay? Out of 2 fights, he's won 1 of them, okay? And you know, he's a tough motherfucker. And he's been brought to his knees by Love. Daisy of Love.
I can't stand it because every time you sound like 12-Pack, Dave.
I sound like. What do you mean? What are you talking about? I don't sound like nobody. Just call me Dave. I'm going to win this fucking thing. I'm going to get my own show. I'm going
to
pretend I don't. It's his name. He's just Dave.
I want to make just a prediction. There's 4 people left. This is the order that they will leave in. Chi-Chi's next. Then Sinister, then Flex, and then Dave, a.k.a. 12-Pack. Would you not agree?
You're out of your mind because, Frank, I'm changing my prediction right now because I'm going completely different from you. You've stolen my prediction of 12-Pack winning it.
That's a lie.
So then you'll be happy if I withdraw my prediction. Would you be satisfied if I withdrew my prediction of 12-Pack winning?
I don't give a shit. Do I pick 6-Pack from
12-Pack? Here's the fucking deal. 12-Pack is taken second. And he's getting his own show. Mm. I fucking said it. 12-Pack is taking second place. He's running away with the silver, leaving you know, either Flex or fucking Sinister or Chi-Chi with the bronze.
Wow.
And one of them's taking the gold. He's gonna take silver, and it's gonna be a surprise. Everybody thinks he's gonna win. It's not.
I'd like to hear Barb's predictions on the order of who's gonna be going next.
Well, Frank, I pretty much agree with you. I think 12-Pack is going to win as well.
I think both of you are out of your fucking minds. You don't understand Daisy of Love like I do. Granted, I've seen 1 episode, but I know very fucking well that 12-Pack, a.k.a. Dave, a.k.a. whatever they call him, Sundance at fucking Feathers. I don't know what name he had.
Well, you know where he's a Jersey boy.
He is. That's why you're picking him. I understand. Anybody that knows the counties in New Jersey is just fucking tops with you, Frank. I understand. But here's the winner right now. The winner, and I agree with the real Kate Goslin in the Heroes Talk chat room, Flex. Flex will be winning Daisy of Love. Mark my words. 12-Pack Dave is second place, getting his own show. That's what it is. He can't exist without being on reality TV. Yeah, he had 30 jobs or whatever. It doesn't matter. This is the one job he cares about. Frank, you're out of your mind. Barb, you are out of your mind. I know you're the biggest fan of Daisy of Love, and I know that you'll defend Big Rig's quiche till the day you fucking die. But the thing is, you're both wrong. Like,
first of all, the red velvet cake made by 12-Pack was to die for.
Oh, my God. It looked delicious.
Really? It's a fucking red velvet cake. It's a box with water. It's not difficult.
This is my life.
You can go into an aisle in Target, throw a rock, and hit a fucking cake mix. Knock it off the shelf.
Now I'm gonna
knock it into a puddle and end up with cake batter. It's
I'm gonna
a
go
fucking
on a limb
accident.
Here and say 12-Pack, a young John Travolta. A young John Travolta.
No.
Would you not agree?
No. No, I would definitely not agree. What?
I don't know. Maybe he'll be in the next Look Who's Talking movie. Because they're probably going to bring that back next. I would ask Kent, but he's busy failing at hooking up with whoever's in his home.
Oh, he has friends that are girls.
Yes.
Friends.
I can't speak. I've got company. Oh, Kent. Oh, Kent.
He's upset.
All this after he went on a fucking diatribe about how he stalked a girl who said she didn't want to be friends with him. And this, the reason that's probably why he got off the radio. He had to turn the speakers off real quick. He didn't want to be on the phone because the girl entering his abode is going to be the next fucking victim. Why are you following me if I don't follow you back? I'll follow you anywhere, bitch.
I hope she doesn't have a Twitter.
He's going to poke the shit out of her on Facebook.
Oh, Jesus.
Perma poke. She's going to remove poke. He's going to poke again. He's going to make sure she's constantly poked. What the fuck is poking anyway? I don't understand it. Have you ever poked anyone, Frank?
Well, isn't that when you take your pecker and you poke somebody with it?
No, it's when you recognize the parent of a friend of your kid who is a bald fuckface in front of you and you poke him with your fucking female shoe and pretend you're not doing it. That's what it is. So, Barb, next week, who's leaving the show? That's what we want to know. Everybody out there, the speculation is rampant.
I believe it will be Chi-Chi because he was a
failed Mexican food chain. Because he failed at having a Mexican restaurant, and now he's going to fail at reality TV. Very good.
Yes, he's too close friends with Sinister, and Sinister would rather Chi-Chi gone, and Chi-Chi is confused whether or not he wants Sinister to go or wants to leave on his own. So it will be Chi-Chi. I don't know if you guys know that there's a show on MTV called Is She Really Going Out With Him?
Is She Really Going Out With Him? Frank, isn't that your favorite song ever?
Is she really gonna take him home tonight? Joe Jackson.
Yeah, it is.
Right, and Brooklyn, who left the show early because he had a girlfriend and was still in love with her, is going to be on that show. So these people are reality TV whores.
Yeah.
I mean, most of these people will probably be on I Love Money 3, I think they're on.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I guess so. I mean, that's the thing you want to do. That's the real-world road rules of VH1, basically.
Do you watch that challenge?
The real-world road rules?
Yeah, the challenges. You don't watch them?
I would rather be killed with the lovely pocket knife given to me by my friend Sobers at his
wedding. You still carrying that in your pocket daily?
What am I going to do if I'm without it and I'm jumped? What will I do?
So you're still the novelty didn't wear off yet?
No. I keep it with me wherever I go, it goes. And let me tell you something, Frank. If I have a bottle that needs to be opened or I have somebody who looks creepy and they need to be threatened, guess what? It's a fingernail away. I just put the blade out and go, and what?
What if you have a piece
and
of paper
what?
That needs to be cut?
A piece of what?
Paper that needs to be cut. Can you do that too?
Frank, I can cut anything. Put it right in front of me. I'll cut it. You know why? Swiss Army. Swiss Army. Keep it with me in my pocket at all times. Actually, I carried it with me when I was walking my dog at night. Like, honestly, not the most effective weapon, the Swiss Army knife, because if you're jumped, typically, it's difficult to do sitting down at a desk. Like, you have to really line up your fingernails. You're not going to have much of a reaction time when someone approaches you with a weapon at nighttime. And honestly, if you do manage to unfold the blade, okay, they're not going to be intimidated by this.
You know what I always found ironic is the fact that Switzerland is always notorious for being neutral. Isn't that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yet they're not popular for a knife.
Which is why their weapon has a fucking can opener in it, Frank. Don't you get the whole fucking idea behind it? They don't have a fucking army. So if they had an army, it would be one that's just a collection of tools. You really didn't get that?
No.
You really thought that there was a group of men patrolling a neutral country with a fucking thing that could have a spoon or a corkscrew on it? I don't
Listen,
know.
I wasn't
How's
aware
that cereal coming along?
Ago, so come on.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I wasn't aware that there was a Gulf of Mexico a week ago, so what are you talking about?
You didn't know that there was a Gulf of Mexico? This is from the guy who knows everything about maps. He'll never get lost ever again because he's got every map he needs. But you didn't know?
I didn't know that. I only thought that the East Coast and the West Coast had beaches. I wasn't aware that Texas also has a beach that's along an ocean.
Are you serious?
I swear on my father's grave that I thought that only the East Coast and West Coast had beaches along oceans. I did not know that Texas actually has a beach along an ocean, as does Louisiana, I believe, and I think Alabama. They actually have beaches along
Frank,
the ocean.
I got to fucking ask you something. You are aware that there are hurricanes, right? Have you ever heard of Hurricane Katrina? These fucking things don't form over land. Of course they have fucking beaches. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Oceans. I know other places have beaches like lakes and whatnot, but I didn't know that other states other than those on the East Coast and West Coast, I know that other states were along oceans.
What did you think it was? A lake?
I thought it was like a bay of some sort.
So you don't think there could be a bay in an ocean?
I didn't.
Oh my god, you're out of your fucking mind. You don't know what fucking geography terms are. You claim that you're fucking the most adept map user ever, and you don't know that a bay can be part of an ocean.
The bay is before the ocean.
But is it all of a sudden fresh water?
No, it's salt water.
Yeah, so where does that salt water come from?
I understand.
The ocean. It's part of the fucking ocean, Frank. Holy shit.
Frank, it's the what of Mexico?
It's the Gulf of Mexico.
The Gulf?
Not the Gulf. It's not
the Gulf. The Gulf of Mexico?
No.
it's a smaller part of the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, I mean, there's people like Minutiae saying Ocean of Mexico as if to say it's not part of it's not an ocean or it's not part of the Atlantic Ocean, but it's a smaller part of the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, it's open to the fucking ocean. The ocean has waves that come in through it and hit Texas. That's it. It's not a big fucking deal. You look, you see blue. You see a fucking map, Frank, and you have to color the ocean in. Are you going to stop when you get to Florida? I just can't even fucking fathom.
Florida always reminded me of a diving board.
Yes, it is America's diving board. And that, I think, is enough of a signal for me to at least say thank you very much for calling in for our Daisy of Love update, Barb. And by the way, where can they see you as a special MC host?
That's the bitter end on July 24th. That's on Bleecker Street between Thompson and LaGuardia.
Yes, and opening for Barb is some band called The Vagabond Souls. That's right. The opening act, very good. But, stay for Barb.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Barb, for calling in. Why don't we wrap this thing up there, Frank? Why don't we do that? Are you okay?
Yeah.
You sure?
Let's do it.
You sure? You want me to play the song?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you're all right, I'll just say thank you for listening to the DJ New Style Show, episode 217 in the can. Download it and others at djnewstyleshow.com. If you're listening to it live, you can download this one, but if you've already downloaded it, you know what? Fuck you. Download it again. I don't give a shit. Download it 17 times. Burn it to CD, shove it in your ass, and shit a smaller cylinder like a fucking Play-Doh factory. But anyway, Frank, do you have anything you'd like to say?
But this is us. Yeah, no. Shut up. You're talking to a fucking sign. I'm going to kick all your friends' ass. Outside, outside, outside. Wani. Ken, is there anything that you'd like to say?
Yes. You're an asshole! It's a fucking snooze! Shit, I can't even fit out the fucking goddamn window. Fuck face! Cause that's what I goddamn do! Nah, I'm good. Thanks. Be sure to check out Best in Show Radio, Thursday nights, 8 to 11, right here on HearUsTalk.com. And also, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 9 p.m., it's 100K presents Hear Us Talk Movie Night. HearUsTalk.com. Thank you very much. Syrup! Wollt ihr das Bett in Flammen sehen? Wollt ihr in Haut und Haaren untergehen? Ihr wollt doch auch den Dolch ins Nacken stecken. Oh, I know this one. It's Goonies, right? This one's Goonies, right? No? Oh, this is Rammstein. We're not playing that? Oh, okay. Rammstein. Rammstein.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! Hasha! Hasha! Give it to me, baby! Give it to me!
Go suck banana! Fuck you!